Hour number three, Darren, Donick, and Jace on this Monday afternoon. Hope everybody's having a good start to your week. We're leaving for Dallas after the show. A little programming note, we will actually be on in the afternoon tomorrow from 2 until 6, live from the Cotton Bowl. So our coverage will be live at the Cotton Bowl. We'll be ringside tomorrow from 2 until 6 p.m. on New Year's Eve. Vince Ferrara from the Sports Animal, at Vince Sports on Twitter, WNML in Knoxville. He's down in the state of Florida, Tennessee, and Indiana a little bit later this week in preparation for that. Vinny, how you doing?
I'm good. I can see the ocean, and right now driving over one of the canals headed back towards the ocean. So it stopped raining. So, yeah, all is good.
Jerk. Yeah. Thanks. Thanks for that update. Thanks for the visual.
Hey, can I share a story real quick?
Sure.
You guys will enjoy? Okay. So Indiana is practicing at Fernandina Beach High School, which is about a long block off of the Atlantic Ocean around Amelia Island. So great venue. Went over there for practice and interviews and everything this morning. And then afterwards, since I was so close to the ocean, I said, all right, I got to go. I don't know if the schedule is going to take me back there or not, so I got to go. So I went to the beach, parked, hung out for a few minutes, took a little video, and then I went back into my car to post the little video on social media. So then all of a sudden, all these seagulls come hovering over my car, and I'm like, what in the world is going on? I know it's a part of the beach. I grew up in it, but where'd they come from? So I look to my right, and this woman that, let's just say, is in a higher demographic than I am, is tossing food out of her car parked right next to me. She's trying to feed the seagulls. So she's tossing food out her driver's side window to the left next to my car. She's tossing them out of her sunroof on top of her car. And there's all dozens of these seagulls hovering around. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. So I rolled down all my windows quickly and got the heck out of there. And, of course, a couple two-tree seagulls left me some parting gifts. Just like I was afraid it would happen.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
I was going to tell you, you might want to find a local car wash because you'll need it. Before we into the matchup on Thursday night, by the way, it's a 6 o'clock kickoff our time, 7 o'clock where you'll be. But I just want to get your quick thoughts on what took place on Saturday, and that's setting up, of course, for the national championship game on Monday, January 13th, Clemson-LSU. I cannot wait. I think it's going to be an awesome title game. But what were your thoughts on how everything played out on Saturday?
No surprise on LSU. I thought they would dismantle Oklahoma. I said it right away. I did not like that matchup for the Sooners. And so that did not surprise me whatsoever. I heard a stat on ESPN today that Joe Burrow, because the SEC championship game was there at the same stadium, Mercedes-Benz Stadium there in Atlanta, that in 5.5 quarters there in those two games, he's thrown 9 touchdown passes. Matt Ryan, in 8 games in that same stadium this year, has thrown 8.
Wow. Great stat.
Yeah. That was incredible, and, you know, that's just the way he is. I don't think anybody is going to stop him. I don't see Clemson stopping him. I thought Clemson would win that game. I thought Ohio State potentially could at least, because of their pass rush, have more of a chance to slow down Joe Burrow or affect him just a little bit. But I don't think they would have won either way. I think LSU is your champ, and I don't think it's going to come down to the wire, to be honest with you. But the what's in Clemson's favor is what they showed in that Ohio State game, in that even if, yes, they weren't tested during the year, they can figure it out because they've got still a terrific roster, great coaching staff, and a whole lot of moxie and a chip on their shoulder. So I think that will help them out, that experience, that chip on their shoulder. But I don't see Joe Burrow playing bad in any half, quarter, drive. I mean, I just don't see LSU being phased at all by the biggest stage that they've, all those kids have ever been on. I just think they're too good, and the defense has improved a lot now that they're healthy. So, fun game, Clemson, Ohio State, but I think LSU wins that probably by a couple of scores.
Yeah, and they get to play in their home state. I mean, if you're going to tell me LSU's going to lose in Louisiana, look, Clemson's fan base doesn't have to take a back seat to anybody, but I don't know how in the heck. I mean, they're going to have to mortgage some things to, you know, because it's going to be purple and gold in that place. I mean, I know Clemson's fans will make their way in, but they're going to have to pay a pretty penny if they're going to, you know, to get in there, because I still think it's going to be predominantly LSU, right, in Mercedes-Benz?
I do think so. And, you know, anytime you get into those championships, you guys know, Super Bowl, whatever, there's always a percentage of the corporate fan, corporate crowd that's there. National championship maybe doesn't have as much of that, but there'll be a percentage of it. I honestly think I wouldn't care if it was played in Clemson's backyard. I would feel the same way, because I don't think Clemson has the answers. The only way they could really get pass rush on Ohio State was sending crazy blitzes. Well, you know what Joe Burrow is great at, and that's avoiding blitzes and those receivers in getting open in man coverage. So I just don't see it for Clemson, despite everyone doubting them and Dabo playing that card and all that. They won 29 in a row, so I'm not saying they suck or anything. I'm just saying when it comes down to it, LSU is just too good, and I expect them to win.
All right, we come back. We'll hit the Gator Bowl with you since you're down in Florida. We'll do that on the other side of Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
I can dig some Duran Duran.
I think they're doing a Duran Duran documentary, which is the new thing, right? Everybody does the doc. In fact, Chase gave
documentary or a docudrama?
Well, whatever you want to call it.
Well, is it like the Queen movie? Or
Bohemian Rhapsody, or you've got, you know,
Elton John.
So, I
mean,
they've
been good.
Yeah.
Those have been good.
Chase gave me a good one on Friday night, and I went home and I watched it on Netflix after the Preds-Penguins game. It was called, what, The Dirt?
Yeah. It's based off their book.
It's on Motley Crue.
Oh, yeah. Is that good?
Yeah. Yeah. It was good.
Okay. Straight Outta Compton would be another one.
Yeah.
Right?
That was really good. But, the you know, it's, as you can imagine, they were crazy. I mean, it just...
Yeah.
They don't even remember, like, half their tours. I mean, they were just... They lived the typical rock, you know, the rock life, the rock and roll life.
All right, talking to Vince Ferrara, and of course Thursday at 6 o'clock it'll be Indiana and Tennessee in the Gator Bowl. So, Vince, what have you found out about Indiana? Tell people a little bit about the Hoosiers here for those that maybe from the outside don't know much about them.
Yeah, Willie, I saw them at practice this morning, and they've got some big offensive linemen that look like they can move. It's funny, when we talked to Brandon Kennedy a couple of weeks ago, he was asked about Indiana's offensive line. No, I'm sorry, not Brandon Kennedy, Matthew Butler, defensive end for Tennessee. And he was asked about Indiana's offensive line, and he said, well, they're big, and, yeah, they're just big. And he didn't intend to, but that was kind of a slight on them. But they have some size on the O-line, and they have some talent and speed at wide receiver. Westbrook is really tall. I mean, he looks like he belongs with Tennessee's group of wide receivers. And the question mark for Indiana is their leading rusher, Stevie Scott, the third. He is a game-time decision with an injury that kept him out of the Purdue game, I believe, late in the year. And there's a big drop-off after that in production for Indiana. They have an excellent quarterback in Patrick Ramsey, who earned that starting job after Michael Penix, the freshman who was once enrolled in Tennessee, committed to Tennessee. He got hurt during the year, and so Ramsey was able to still come in there and play well despite not initially winning the starting job. And he has the ability to run a little bit, too. They'll do some zone read things. And I expect with all the talent and different options where they spread the ball around at Indiana, I expect Tennessee will have to play a lot of nickel in the game because they do have a lot of options, and they'll throw it a lot. And if they don't have their leading rusher, they'll probably throw even more. And defensively, they were, 8-10 in a lot of the statistics in the Big Ten as they finished 8-4. They basically beat the teams that were in the middle to the bottom of the pack in the Big Ten and then lost to, probably the four best teams that they played. So a group that is happy to be there, that doesn't have a ton of bowl experience. They only have 7 players that have played a bowl game on their entire roster. Now, Tennessee has some older players that have experienced it. Some of those guys didn't really play as big a roles, but more than Indiana. And I think the motivation is similar for both teams because it's been a minute for both of them to be in a bowl game. The last win Indiana had in a bowl game was 28 years ago. So I think you're not going to have the mismatch, as Darren, you and I have talked about at times, in one team being motivated, the other being disinterested. I think both of these teams' fan bases are appreciative of where they're at. I think we'll give their best effort.
I think you laid it out really well. That's something that jumped out at me. It's a banner year for Indiana because of the relative lack of success they've had. And I think you hit it dead on. They were good enough to beat the middle-of-the-road teams, which is usually their problem. They were not overly competitive against the top tier of the Big Ten. So it doesn't look like a team that's going to overwhelm you talent-wise. So based on that, you hit on a couple of things, but look at it from Tennessee's perspective. What are you looking for in this game? What are some of the biggest question marks that you have based on how they finished with some good momentum here? Now, going into this game, has anything changed? Is there anything that you're looking for in particular that might be different with all these extra days of practice?
Potentially, yes, Willie. It's a good question. First off, it starts at center. Brandon Kennedy missed all the practices in Knoxville after the win over Vanderbilt, the regular season finale. He had a minor knee procedure. He is still a game-time decision for Thursday's bowl game, and so he was back at practice and did some things according to Jeremy Pruitt. We didn't get to see the whole thing, and so if they don't have him, I think that could potentially be a little bit of a safety blanket that has been there for the Tennessee quarterbacks all season long. Kennedy's been there pretty much throughout, and to take away your starting center in a bowl game, I think that could potentially lead to some issues. Jerome Carvin, who's played some right guard for Tennessee, has had the most work at first team center for the Vols when Kennedy's not been in there. But Kennedy was back at practice. We'll see if he's able to work his way back. He's a veteran guy that's going to apply for a 60-year of eligibility because of all the injuries he has suffered earlier in his career. So if anyone could not need a lot of practice reps and then jump right in to a game, other than Trey Smith, who doesn't have contact really in practices, he would be the guy that could do it. So that's one thing. And then the other thing is Jerry Garantano, for the first time, didn't have a brace in his non-throwing hand. And so that was a little bit of a change-up for him. And he said it was a little strange, but, that shouldn't, you would think, impact him much during the ball game. I think maybe Brandon Kennedy not being there could potentially be more of an issue for him, more than not having a brace. And then the other thing is, you know, you just never know when guys have taken that much time out away from a game when you're playing so well. Just never know how sharp you're going to be. Tennessee hasn't been the best starting team this year. They've barely outscored their opponents, whereas Indiana has doubled up their opponents in the first quarter. And then in the first half, here's the last thing, Willie, is not having Juwan Jennings. I think they could overcome that, but you don't want to start too slow and then dig yourself a hole once you get Jennings back in the second half.
Talking to Vince Ferrara, WNML in Knoxville. And you know, I'm curious, Vince, of what this game would mean for Jarrett Garantano. And I know bowl games, we don't put a lot of stock in them. They, at the end of the day, they don't really matter. But considering the up-and-down season that he has had at the quarterback position, I'm curious of just, you know, what we need to see out of him.
Well, I think what it could do is, especially if he plays well, I think it's going to add more confidence that he is going to return. He's kind of alluded to it that, you know, that he would stay, but he hasn't really been definitive on it. We really hadn't had that many opportunities, and he hasn't really been drilled hard on it. And, you know, just like with Trey Smith and his NFL decision, you know, those guys are putting all that stuff off until later on. He doesn't have to make a decision. I think it could really enhance the view of him from fans if he's able to get another win and lead this program to 8 wins after their 1-4 start and 0-2 out of the gate when everyone wanted Pruitt firing. So it could be a nice cap to this unbelievable comeback story, one of numerous on this football team this year.
Yeah, and also along those same lines with Jeremy Pruitt, I mean, I think we've seen the improvement throughout the season from those first two games. Getting to a bowl game is every coach's goal, but what do you need to see from his standpoint as well?
Well, I think the biggest thing is you want to see them prepared to play. Now, that doesn't guarantee you're a great coach or not. Butch Jones had all of his Tennessee teams that went to a bowl game ready to play. That doesn't mean that he ended up being a successful SEC coach. There's no guarantee. Nick Saban several times has not had his Alabama teams ready for Sugar Bowls, but that doesn't mean that he's not an elite iconic coach. So it's not the be-all, end-all, but it's his first test in this situation to get a team ready. And it also, I think, points to him being connected to what motivates his players. And I think he has found that recipe late in the year, and this is another test in that. One interesting thing we were talking about earlier, Indiana has beaten some of the middle of the pack to lower Big Ten teams. So then the question is, where does Tennessee kind of fall within that? Tom Allen, Indiana coach, compared Tennessee and their roster and talent to Penn State. So, I mean, that's a top 10 team. Hmm. He said they're not exactly the same schematically, but that's who he would compare talent, size, athleticism, those kind of things out of the Big Ten that they've seen. So I thought that was interesting. We'll see if Pruitt can deliver those kind of results in the bowl game.
Not exactly a ringing endorsement for the Big Ten. I'm not sure. I don't think. I don't know. That was kind of a weird statement. Or was he pulling the Lou Holtz?
Could be a compliment for Tennessee. Yeah.
Well, was he pulling a Lou Holtz? Okay, there's like world beaters. There's national champions. You remember when he used to? I mean, he would always talk up the opponent like they were the top team in the country. It's like,
no doubt.
It's like, Lou, you're playing, you know, William and Mary. Like, enough. Come on.
I honestly, you're right. Some coaches do that. I didn't interpret that. He was talking about some specific things. He kind of slid that in there. It wasn't like everything he has said has been over the top on Tennessee that sent out alarms like, yeah, whatever, we've seen this team, that's not the case. That really, he's been pretty spot on in a lot of the things that he has talked about, not really exaggerating. So I didn't group that in as exaggerating either. So
Vince, happy new year. Enjoy the bowl game. We look forward to talking to you in 2020.
All right. Appreciate it, guys. You guys be safe. Thanks for having me, as always.
Yep. Vince Ferrara, WNML, at Vince Sports on Twitter, the sports animal in Knoxville. He's down in Florida. He'll be covering their bowl game Thursday night, 6 o'clock kickoff our time, Tennessee, Indiana. We'll come back. Tell us what you know on the other side. Just tell us what you know. We've got Post Malone tickets on the line. But to win them, you have to call in and tell us what you know. 615-737-1025, 737-1025. Your phone call's next. Tell us what you know. Yes, we want to know. 615-737-1025. A pair of tickets to see Post Malone at Bridgestone Arena on March 4th. Hello! Does that get your attention? It gets mine. If it gets mine, it should definitely get yours. Most people do not have me pegged as Post Malone.
No, I don't.
No. Everybody's shaking their head. No, thank you, guys.
You're more Paul Postma than Post Malone, Darren.
Thank you, Max. We'll see you in a month. 737-1025, 615-737-1025. I will start, gentlemen, before we get to the phones. And by the way, load them up. Come on. Post Malone tickets, it's simple. Just tell us what you know. There's a ton of sports stuff going on. This is what I know. Mine is going to be short and sweet. But I truly believe this, without a doubt. Wild card weekend, this upcoming weekend, Saturday and Sunday, at least, and I mean at least half of the road teams are going to win. Two of the four, at least, are punching their tickets in the divisional rounds. It is not going to be home sweep.
Okay, so name names.
Oh, I think Seattle is, to me, I don't want to say a lock. Seattle's
they're
beating
close.
Philadelphia.
Yeah, I agree.
They're beating the Eagles.
I agree.
In fact, they're favored, and they should be favored.
What,
I'm surprised.
Three?
1.5.
1.5?
I honestly think the Bills could beat the Texans. I do.
I agree with that, too.
I really do. Obviously, we've talked about the Titans-Patriots. Can the Titans win? Yeah, they absolutely can win. I mean, the one that I feel the least confident about is Minnesota going into New Orleans. That's the one I feel the least confident about.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, two road teams are winning this weekend in the NFL.
I'd say that's a pretty good statement.
That's what I know. Half of the road teams, at least, are punching their ticket into the next round of the NFL playoffs. That's what I know.
Willie, what do you know?
Well, this is what I know. Since the quarterback change to Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry has not been stopped. And not only has he not been stopped, he's gone to a whole new level. 1,500 yards in 15 games sounds great. And he is the rushing champion. But listen to the numbers since the quarterback change has been made. 4.1 yards per carry against the LA Chargers. 22 carries, 90 yards. 4.7 yards per carry against the Bucs, a very good rushing defense. 4.8 yards per carry against Carolina in a game where they inexplicably only give it to him 13 times. I'm really not sure what happened in that game. 8.2 yards per carry against Kansas City. 8.4 against Jacksonville. 5.7 against Indianapolis. 5.7 against Oakland on one leg. 4.1 against the Texans on one leg. Then the rest. And then 6.6 yesterday with three touchdowns and 211 yards. He's not just the league champion in rushing. He has been an absolute monster since the quarterback change. That is why I'm so confident. I really like their chances. As you've been saying, Darren, you kind of have to pinch yourself. You have to make sure that you're prepared for the greatness of the Patriots. But I'm confident. This is a great defense. This is the number one defense. But Derrick Henry has been unbelievable. Even working his way through a hamstring problem.
Man's going to get paid.
And well, let's cross that bridge when we come to it. But you're right.
Better be by this team.
Well, yeah. I mean, I would hope so.
Yeah, look, I mean, I understand they got to take care of the playoffs and you worry about that, and then you get him re-signed, but I mean, that's just the way it's going to be. That's a good stat to know that you threw out there.
He had in his last 7 games 959 yards just in the 7 games.
All right. This is what I know. I drove home from Indianapolis yesterday and it took me 6.5 hours because it rained the entire way, and hydroplaning is scary. That's what I know. But I made it. Was able to correct it, and I made it. But I had to pull off. And
what do you mean you had to correct it?
Well, I mean, I almost wrecked. That's what I'm saying. Like I hit a patch, and we started.
Is this like Planes, Trains, and Automobiles?
We started to go the wrong way, and I was able to pull out of it. But I was shaking so much because I was so just scared that I almost wrecked. That I had to pull off for a second.
Wow.
Almost had to make a wardrobe change.
Were you doing 360s?
No, I didn't do it. It wasn't that bad, but it was.
Burnouts on Broadway?
No burnouts on Broadway. But it was scary. I mean, look, it literally, I was in the heavy rain pretty much the whole way.
Yeah, it was a pretty nasty day yesterday.
So, enjoyed the back roads of Bowling Green because I got off the interstate for a little bit.
A lot of flooding.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, here in our area. All right, your phone calls. Tell us what you know. The best one, pair of tickets to see Post Malone, Bridgestone Arena on March 4th. Let's see. Thomas, as we've got loaded lines. Thomas, you lead us off. What do you know?
This is what I know, that if Justin Ross had been going into the end zone or going out of bounds, that call would have not been reversed. It would have been a touchdown or a catch. That is what I know.
I'm not sure. I'm not following.
The overturned call in the Ohio State-Clemson game, Justin Ross's non-fumble, non-catch. If he had been going into the end zone, reaching out towards the end zone, that would have been a touchdown. If he had been going out of bounds, got both of his feet inbound, they would have called that a touchdown. Why was it overturned? It was a catch.
So you thought it was a catch too?
I disagree with reaching it out. He never reached the ball out. If he did, that would be a football move. That was explained. He was still gathering it back into his body when the player came in and it stripped him. I'm with you. It's frustrating for the Ohio State side of this because it was so close and it was called a fumble on the field. But it is a razor's edge. You have to be honest and say that's a tough one either way.
I was really surprised that they overturned it. I really was.
I think it's one of the worst calls I've ever seen.
You're a Buckeye fan.
Next to the Saints one last year.
I don't think it's not in that category.
Everything is second to that one.
It's not in that category.
But you could make the case, and Thomas is, that cost Ohio State possibly a chance to be playing on January 13th.
Yeah.
That play.
That's all I got.
All right, thank you, Thomas. Appreciate it. Look, I said it earlier. I thought it was absolutely a catch. I don't know, stunned is a pretty strong word. I was very, very surprised that they came back and overturned it. I mean, they took 6 off the board and said it was an incomplete pass.
But also,
that was very surprising.
Also, keep this in mind. If they go the other way and they rule it incomplete, then you have no chance of scoring a touchdown, right? Because it's not reviewable, or if it's reviewable, you can't return the fumble. Anyway, so they did the right thing by calling it a catch on the field. Like, the benefit of the doubt, and we've learned this lesson in the NFL, right? If it's close, let the play go.
Yes.
And then come back and
yes,
fix it.
Yes, agreed.
But the problem with that is you're ruling it a catch and a fumble on the field. That's the biggest argument I think Ohio State has, is that's what you called on the field. Was there enough to overturn the original call? That's your best argument.
All right, let's go to Randy in Bucksnort. Randy, what do you know?
Can y'all hear me?
We can.
This is what I know. Arkansas is the armpit of America.
Okay, anything else?
I think that's it. Hey, is Post Malone related to Karl Malone?
I do not believe so, no.
Karl Malone liked to work the post.
No.
But he is not related to Post Malone.
Good point, Wiley. Thanks for taking my call.
No, that was good stuff. Very insightful, Randy. Thank you.
All is well in Bucksnort.
This is what I know. I've been to Bucksnort. There's a trout farm there. My grandfather used to take me there.
Yeah. Did you catch any trout?
I did.
Yeah.
What's the guy got against Arkansas over in Bucksnort there?
I don't know.
I wanted him to elaborate, but he just...
he said, that's all I got.
And I don't believe anybody's called Post the Mailman, so no. Him and Carl have nothing... Nothing in common. 737-1025. Let's go to Adam up in Portland. Adam, what do you know?
Adam. Well, my parents used to take me to Bucksnort when they didn't want to spend money on a vacation. But
that was your vacation? Bucksnort?
That's not what I know. But, yeah, we used to go camping out there when they didn't want to spend any money. They're like, oh, let's just go to Bucksnort. But, yeah, all right, that's not what I know.
Did you trout fish? Did you trout fish there?
Not really. I jumped off a couple of, like, big, tall waterfalls.
Okay.
Stuff like that. So, I mean, it was... exhilarating, but yeah, no, they didn't spend any money. All right, so this is what I know, man. I think the Tennessee Titans have a clear path to the Super Bowl, and it's a long way away, but it's a clear path. Like, you've got every matchup that you could possibly want on the way to the Super Bowl, and it starts this weekend. We have a million Patriots on our team. Y'all said it already. Baltimore, I don't really think we have any advantages there, but we owe them one from how they treated us whenever we had our number one seed. And not just winning that game. They twisted Chris Johnson in that game, and I never forgot it. So that's our divisional round. We then got Kansas City, which we own Andy Reid in Kansas City, and that's our clear path to the Super Bowl. Titans are going to the Super Bowl.
That's what you
that's
know.
What you know.
That you
that's
know
what
that.
I know. I wish I could find – my wife won't let me bet on it. Yeah, because that's my life. But I would bet on it if I could.
You would bet on them going to the Super Bowl. You
absolutely
know that.
100%.
Wow. Adam, I will not forget this phone call. Thank
yes,
you.
Sir.
If he gets that right, we're going to give him a prize. I'm just a clear path? A clear path? I don't know about a clear path. Now, I will agree with him. They owe Baltimore some stuff over the years. And yes, Baltimore wrecked the Titans a couple of times when they were the number one seed. Mm-hmm. So, and they had home field advantage throughout. So in that aspect, yeah, they owe Baltimore. They could wreck their year by taking that number one seed away from, but a clear path to the Super Bowl.
So he's saying that they're going to the Super Bowl. I have odds. If he put $100 down on the Titans to go to the Super Bowl, he'd win $2,500.
Yeah, That's pretty steep odds.
That's 40 to 1?
Yeah, it's plus 2,500. That's what they're at.
I'm looking at Jimmy
Shapiro. Plus 2,500?
Well, this is I'm on my bookie.
So that is really, really – that's
they
probably
have,
the low – let's say who's has the worst odds, the Eagles? Vikings, Eagles?
No. The Titans and Bills are plus 2,500 to win the AFC. In the NFC – the Vikings are plus 1,400 to win the NFC.
And what are the Eagles?
The Eagles are plus 1,000.
So the Titans and the Bills have the worst odds?
Yeah.
In the playoffs?
According to my booking, the Seahawks are plus 1,100 to win the NFC.
Wow. Okay.
Well, because one of them's going down in the first week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Houston is plus 2,000, New England plus 500, Kansas City plus 170, Baltimore minus 115 in the AFC.
Wow.
I do think it's notable. The Titans have gone from 66 to 1 to 40 to 1 in the Jimmy Shapiro in 1 week. The Patriots went from 5 to 1 to 10 to 1. The Patriots odds
are going the wrong
have gone
way.
The wrong way for a good while now.
All right, we'll come back. Loaded lines. We'll do another slew of phone calls on the other side to close out the third hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase next. All right, that's what's on the line right there. Post Malone, Bridgestone Arena, March 4th. By the way, at 1 o'clock, fourth and final hour, we'll go up to Foxborough. We'll learn a little bit more about the opponent of the Titans in the wild card round. Saturday night, 7:15 kickoff, Titans and Patriots. But right now, it's your phone calls. And let's go to Doug. Doug, you're up next. What do you know?
Well, I've just got a new one, but I'm going to add to what I already have. what I know is you don't call in and trash a city, state, or a country and not have facts behind your rhetoric. You can't just say Arkansas don't know what you're talking about. You don't know the difference between Post Malone, the rapper, and Carmelo, the Hall of Famer. So you don't call in with that stupidness. But my, this is what I know is LeBron James, the votes were in. LeBron James, number one, greatest athlete of all time in the decade. Serena, number two. This is what I know.
Hmm.
They got it right.
Okay.
Love them, like them, hate them. LeBron, number one. Serena, number two.
All right.
Number one male, number one female. That's what I know. I know who Post Malone is, too.
Thank you, Doug, as always.
Thanks, Doug.
I agree.
That was a little bit tame.
Yeah.
That was, for dog standards, that was pretty tame. Usually he's got a life story.
I know, usually he knows a lot of stuff, but or the list.
It'd be hard to argue with that, though, right? For the decade? Could you make a – I mean, who would be the – I mean, I'm putting everybody on the spot, but
– I mean, it's got to be LeBron.
Steph Curry, maybe.
For the whole decade?
For the decade?
Pretty good decade.
I mean, Brady had –
Yeah,
had a
Brady,
pretty good decade.
Brady, yeah.
That's true. So. How about Joe in Spring Hill? Joe, what do you know?
What I know as a Patriots fan, the first time in my life, I don't have a problem with my team going down this weekend. I look at the playoff picture in the AFC, and for those who thought the guy a couple callers ago was off his rocker talking about the path to the Super Bowl, he's not completely meshuggah, to be honest with you, because it's not a bad path. I mean, we know Belichick will do his best to try to take Derrick Henry out of the game, but with that rookie wide receiver, the stud that he is, the physicality of those receivers, and as Patriots fans, we had everything to play for yesterday. We, more than any other team in the NFL, really needed the week off to get everything together. We had the game at home over a 2-touchdown favorite. I understand it's a division game and those are never easy, and we know any given Sunday, but I got to be honest, without that bye, I don't think we have the horse. I think that Tennessee actually has, they're built better to make a run through the AFC than the Patriots are. I mean, obviously, it appears as though Baltimore and Kansas City are on a collision course, but the way Tennessee plays on both sides of the football, I mean, you can't completely count them out. And the coaching tree that Vrabel comes from, who knows? Maybe he'll have a game plan in place to do what he has to do. And like I said, as a Pats fan, if my team does go down this weekend for the first time in my life, I don't have a problem with it. Plus, being, like I've said before, you know, a 15-year resident of Williamson County and a small business guy here in Nashville, it's always good for our economy. I love the show, guys. Thanks so much for taking the call, and Happy New Year.
Thank you, Joe. Happy New Year to you, and good job working in meshuggah.
Very good.
Nice. Well done.
Good vocab.
He was talking about Adam in Portland. He worked in meshuggah. Very nice. Gosh, I was impressed by that. 737-1025. How about Dr. Detroit? DD, what do you know?
What I know is I'm about to see my Louisville Cardinals, once in basketball, now in football, within the same month in Nashville. It doesn't get better than that.
Wow.
And by the way, I don't have tickets of yet, but I got some scalper friends that might take care of me. But y'all not giving away tickets today, are you?
No, not to that. We've already done all that.
Fair enough. But that's what I know. I'll be seeing Louisville basketball and football all in the same month in Nashville, and I'm glorified about it.
How'd Louisville do on Saturday in basketball? I didn't even see. Oh, he hung up. I didn't even see the final. Anybody know what? Did they play on Saturday?
I don't know. I was in football mode on Saturday.
Nobody knows?
They played Kentucky.
Oh, on Saturday, did they?
And it went to overtime, and I think Kentucky won.
Oh, okay.
You think?
Darren knows full well who won that game.
Kentucky?
Yeah, I thought you were toying with them.
No, I didn't even see. What happened?
Your final, Kentucky 78, Louisville 70.
Oh, son of a gun. Didn't even know that.
There you go.
Darren knows full well.
Let's go to Nate down in Tejas. Nate, what's up? What do you know?
Hey, guys. This is what I know. I think when states are naming cities, they run out of ideas, and they just start going around to other states and plucking those names, because I've seen Clarksville, Pulaski, Mount Pleasant, Mount Vernon, and it's just, I don't know, man. It's weird. By the way, it is really cool to see, even if it's just one car, of a fellow Predators fan drive by you or you drive by them on your way down, because it just gets more surreal.
Give us your locale. Where are you?
I have no idea. It says Lake Bob Sandwin State Park.
Okay.
Lake Cypress Spring. Next right.
Okay. Well, Nate, hope you have the Cotton Bowl plugged into your GPS.
Heck yeah, I do. Y'all have a good one. Y'all travel safe.
You too.
By the way, I heard the projection. Over 20,000 expected to be in the Cotton Bowl.
Yep.
From
Nashville.
From representing the Predators.
Yeah. It was cool last night when they showed the shot of the rink on Sunday Night Football, and Al did the did the promo.
That was cool.
Let's go to Bob up in Gallatin. Bob, what do you know?
What I know is that as much animosity as there supposedly is between the Patriots and the NFL office in New York, seems like every year that the afternoon game is played under a dome. And the visiting team gets to go into snow, rain, and cold weather in New England.
It does seem that way. Thank you, Bob.
Good point by Bob.
He's a wealth of knowledge.
Like by that, the way, Bob. Shout out to Bob.
They get on the list, too. Don't they know that the Predators have a game Saturday night against the Kings? Come on. Give me the Sunday game.
I know. I was like, really?
I mean, the Predators play Sunday, too, but
That's true.
Sunday afternoon game would have been perfect.
But they play at night.
Yeah.
But
maybe,
see,
and it's an NBC
maybe the
game.
Sunday noon game would have been nice.
Yeah. It's an NBC game, too.
It sucks for both of you, more so you, Willie, because you're obviously working and preparing and everything, but they're spread out enough where you can watch the Titans game, do the flip back and forth, or have the two TV set up, but then you'll get to see the end of the Preds game uninterrupted because they're spread out, so...
Let's go to Rob. Rob, what do you know?
Hey, guys. This is what I know. If Jerry Jones screws up this hole, I am going to lose my mind.
He will. Don't worry.
No, he won't.
He will.
Chase, back me up. He won't. Chase, come on.
Look, I'm a Cowboys fan, too, but he's going to screw it up because he's screwed it up for the last 10 years with Jason Garrett still being the head coach.
I do not want a college coach. Go get North Turner back or back up to Brinkstruck. Daniels or something. I'm just not comfortable with a college coach coming up, you know, taking over. And unless it's Coach O, but I don't really want Coach O to coach my Cowboys either. But the Tigers are going to be in the national championship, and I don't think it's going to be even close. I don't think if it's Clemson or Ohio State, I don't think they have a shot. We're just playing too good this year.
All right, Rob, thank you.
All right, guys. Be good.
Last one, Byron, Ashland City. Byron, what do you know?
I know that if on the off chance the Seahawks make it to the Super Bowl and the one in a million chance they end up on the 1 yard line to win it, there is 100% chance that Marshawn Lynch does not get the rock.
100% chance?
100. How many times has he screwed that up?
Well, they tried to do it last night, but they couldn't get the right personnel on the field.
Spike the ball, hand him the ball. You know, it was ridiculous.
It was.
That place did get
Thank
pretty
you,
jacked
Byron.
When he scored the one touchdown,
yeah.
though, huh?
Yeah. But
that
could you imagine
cool.
if he had won the game with his second touchdown?
Oh, yeah.
They already said when he scored the first one, that was the loudest the stadium had been.
They
the
looked like
game.
They had no idea the play clock had been run down. They didn't come close to getting
not
that playoff.
Close.
It's not like it was like zero snap. It was like, hey, all of a sudden, well, there was a flag, delay a game. They were like, oh, really? They weren't
so
close.
Bad. Not even close. And then Hollister catches the ball. Now, that's truly, you know, we always say the Super Bowl, 1 yard short. It really wasn't 1 yard. Like, that was like the
half yard
short. That was the half yard line.
Think about the 49ers last four games. All four have come down to the last
yep,
play.
I have.
Last play.
We'll come back. We'll head up to Foxborough. We'll learn a little bit more about the Patriots to kick off the final hour. That's next.